The alarm went off at 5, which is not a time I normally choose to see, but I wanted to catch the city before it woke. The air was still warm from last night, that heavy blanket of humidity that Jeddah wears even in the dark, but it was bearable. I stood at the window of my hotel room, watching the streetlights flicker against the overcast sky, and thought about how much changes in a week. In 7 days, I've gone from a woman with a suitcase and a pile of paperwork to someone who has a SIM card, a bank account, a national address, and a growing sense that this city is less about its landmarks than its rhythms. The morning here belongs to the early risers, the walkers on the corniche, the ones who know that the heat will erase any ambition by noon. I wanted to be one of them, at least once. I took a walk along the Jeddah waterfront, past the sculptures that seem to grow out of the pavement like strange coral, past the families setting up picnic rugs on the grass. The sea was flat and gray, the color of old silver, and the gulls wheeled overhead. I stopped at a small kiosk for a cup of coffee, just a simple black coffee, nothing like the elaborate kawa I've become used to, but it was hot and strong and cost about 10 rials, maybe $3, and it tasted like a beginning. Later, I went back to my hotel room to finish packing. Everything I own is still in one suitcase and a backpack, but already the bag feels heavier. Not with things, but with the weight of the week. The papers, the receipts, the little souvenirs, a small bottle of rose water from Al-Balad, a magnet with the King Fahd fountain, a business card from the man at the sim shop who spoke no English but showed me how to load credit with a patient smile. I folded my abaya, which I haven't worn once, and laughed at myself for bringing it. Modest dress here means many things, but it doesn't mean what I thought it would. Before I left the hotel, I went down to the lobby cafe for one last drink. I don't remember the cafe's name, one of those quiet spots in Ashshadi, but the barista was a young woman from the Philippines with a gentle manner and a gift for latte art. I ordered a flat white and a piece of basbousa, and she asked where I was going. When I said the mountains, her whole face lit up. "It's so cold there," she said, with a shiver that was half memory, half longing. "You'll need a jacket." I promised her I would pack one. A quick Uber ride later, I was back in Al-Balad. I know it so well now. The coral stone alleys, the Rawasheen balconies like lace against the sky, the smell of frankincense and fried dough. But I wanted to walk it one more time, without a destination, just to let the place soak into me. I passed the Al-Shafi Mosque, the oldest in the city, its peaceful minaret holding up the heavy sky, and I thought about all the pilgrims who have passed through this gateway over 1,000 years. I paid my respects, not in a religious way, but in a human way, to the millions of stories that have flowed through these streets. For lunch, I found a tiny place near the Souk Al-Alawi that sold mutabak, the stuffed flatbread that has become my faithful companion in Jeddah. I ordered the cheese version, 14 rials, about $4, and ate it standing at a counter, the grease running down my wrist. It was perfect. I have learned that the best meals here are the ones you don't plan, the ones you stumble upon when your hunger and the street are in harmony. By mid-afternoon, the heat was punishing. The air itself seemed to shimmer, and even the shadows were hot. I retreated to a cafe I've come to love, Urban Roastery, in the Alhambra district, and ordered their signature cold brew. The place was busy, filled with women in colorful abayas and men in thobes, all of them pretending the heat outside didn't exist. I found a seat by the window and watched the world blur by. The cars, the people, the occasional stray cat that darted across the road. I thought about how this city is not just a place, it's a practice, a discipline of patience and adaptation. You learn to move slowly, to drink water constantly, to do your errands early, and your socializing late. By the time you've mastered it, you're ready to leave. But before I left, there was one thing I still hadn't done. I had heard about the Jeddah season chess championship that was being played in Al-Balad, and even though I don't play, I wanted to see it. The words chess and Al-Balad, together seem to contain something essential about this country, the way it's learning to hold on to its past while opening itself to the world. In the early evening, I drove out to the Corniche for my last view of the Red Sea. I parked near the Al Rahma Mosque, the floating mosque, and watched the sun begin its slow descent behind the water. The mosque's white minarets caught the last of the light, and the sea turned to gold. The Jeddah season concerts were setting up nearby, and I could hear the distant thump of a sound check, a bass line probing the evening air. I thought about the Rami Sabri concert that I'd read about, apparently sold out in 3 hours, and the Alyssa and Well Jasser show a week before. Jeddah lives for its nights, I've learned, and tonight it would be full of music, but I would be driving east into the darkening land. I had one last meal, a farewell dinner, at a restaurant called Nawa Patio in the Al Rada district. I ordered the salib, a Hijazi dish of creamy rice and chicken, and it tasted like comfort, like coming home to a country I haven't lived in yet. The bill came to about 200 rials for the whole spread, roughly $55, and I lingered over dates and mint tea, savoring the flavors and the stillness of my own company. After dinner, I stood outside the restaurant, watching the city go about its evening. The traffic was thick on Prince Sultan Road, the headlights a river of light, and the shops were coming alive with people seeking refuge from the heat. I thought about the word Alula, the desert wonder I haven't seen yet, the name that first drew me to this country when I was planning my journey. It means a first place, and I suppose that's what this whole trip is. A first place, a new country, a different life. The drive to the mountains will take me through the night, up into the Sarawat Range, where the air is thin and cool, and the mist rolls in like a soft blanket. I have a vague plan, but I also understand that plans here are like outlines drawn lightly in pencil, ready to be erased by the landscape. I filled the rental car's tank, about 70 rials, which I'm told is normal, check the tires, and set my phone to navigate to the first town on the other side of the escarpment. As I pulled away from the hotel, past the seafront, and the Jeddah sign glowing in the evening gloom, I felt the city recede behind me like a tide going out. I rolled down the window to let the wind whip through the car, and I laughed out loud, alone, into the beautiful empty night. The road ahead was dark, but I knew it would lead to green slopes and cool valleys, to mist and mountain air, to the heart of the Sur that people here speak of with a certain tender respect. This is Layla, and this is Saudi Arabia. The mountains are waiting. Marhaba and goodbye, Jeddah, for now. Your rhythm has taught me patience. Your nights have shown me joy. Your hot, humid afternoons have given me a deep appreciation for air conditioning and for the promise of a cool breeze on a mountain pass. I don't know what I'll find up there, but as I drove out of the city limits, with the last palm trees silhouetted against the sky, I knew one thing for certain. I was on my way home to a country I'm just beginning to meet.